Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 76. Is it okay to mix business and politics? Trigger warning.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, Free Market Squad, in the place to be? Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. My name is Nathan Fraser. I am the host of this here podcast, the High Priest of Propaganda. But you, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad. And today on this podcast, we're going to be talking about, some announcements actually at the end of the show concerning the future of this podcast. But before we get to that, though, we're going to be talking about mixing business with politics. Is it okay to mix business with politics as a business person? Should you let your political feelings be known? It's
what it is.
It's what's going on right now, and it's having repercussions. So we're going to talk about that, and let's just jump right into it, actually. So everywhere from like Twitter to the nationally televised sports games out there, sports ball, it seems like to Grammy acceptance speeches and it seems like you just can't escape people's political opinions nowadays. Even people who have careers and are in the public forum seem to be just as happy to express their political opinion with at the same level as the average uneducated American with any kind of social media account does. So not just lacking education, but lacking empathy, lacking the ability to see things from other points of view. Seems like people just in general are all too happy to express their political opinions. And business owners are kind of the people that shy away from that. Business owners historically are the people that are like, look, if you own a business, you just keep your mouth shut about politics. And there's reasons why they say that. And we're going to cover, because first of all, I'm guilty. I'm somebody who always runs my mouth about my political beliefs. And I'm also somebody who finds it incredibly annoying when celebrities do it. So I'm a big giant hypocrite, just like most other human beings. So I'm going to talk about when it's okay, when it's not okay, reasons why to do it, reasons why not to do it. And I'm going to say, I'm going to leave it up to you to decide for yourself at the end of the show. Is it okay for you to mix your business with politics? Let your political opinions be known, even as somebody who owns a business. So why not? Why should you maybe consider not expressing yourself politically, using your platform to make a political statement? There's kind of a lot of reasons why. First of all, you're eliminating half of your potential customer base, especially nowadays with how divided people are. So, I mean, some people will flat out refuse to do business with people who they don't share the same ideological values with. Just look at companies like MTV or events like the Emmys or the MTV Movie Awards. Viewership is plummeting on these mainstream celebrities celebrating celebrities events that used to garner all kinds of attention. But there, and maybe it's not just the blatant political agenda that it just seems to just permeate every single award ceremony nowadays. But most people that I know, even people that that agree with some of the stuff they say or agree with the majority of stuff they say, but definitely the people that disagree, the reason that they've stopped tuning out is because they're sick and tired of having these people's politics shoved down their throat. And in Hollywood, especially since we're talking about that, like most conservative actors, conservative directors, like they just won't speak their mind. They won't talk politics at all because they know that it will close a lot of opportunities for them if they vocally go against the mainstream narrative of Hollywood, which is liberal. So, and again, I don't really have a dog in the fight between conservatives and liberals. Conservatives have their pluses and their minuses. Liberals have their pluses and their minuses. And I just kind of see it that way. I don't want either one of them. You know, I want conservatives to stay out of my bedroom. I want liberals to stay out of my wallet. And neither one of them seem to really care what I think. So I'm not a big fan of either one. But it is what it is in Hollywood. There's definitely a liberal bias. And the fact is that most conservatives in Hollywood are afraid to express their ideas or maybe for business reasons, maybe they're just smart and they refuse to, or they avoid expressing their political ideas because it's just a smart business decision. Marvel Comics right now is, and this sucks for me because I'm a huge comic book fan. Like I grew up escaping reality through reading comic books, and I loved Captain America and Spider-Man and Luke Cage and Johnny Blaze. I loved Marvel Comics when I was growing up. I also liked Image Comics and read Ninja Turtle comics back in the day. So I loved comic books growing up. That was just one of my things. I loved drawing. I loved reading comic books. I thought they were awesome. I can't read Marvel Comics anymore. Like Marvel Comics has just gone off the deep end. It's just constant political agenda, and it feels kind of like their company's been taken over by social justice warriors, and those social justice warriors have declared war on the fan base. And here's what I mean, and then I'm going to explain why this is kind of a bad thing, that the political agenda has become so strong with this company. They've gone through and they've replaced all of the classic characters. They've kind of deplatformed Peter Parker and replaced him with a black guy. They've gone and they took Captain America and turned him into a Nazi and replaced him with Sam Wilson, who was already an awesome character as the Falcon. There was no need to, it was basically like saying Sam Wilson's not cool enough as the Falcon. He doesn't stand on his own. He needs to be Captain America to be a viable character. Maybe that wasn't their thinking, but I loved Sam Wilson as the Falcon. Ever since way back in the day when I was reading Captain America comics, I always liked Falcon more than I liked Captain America, but I liked him as the Falcon. He was a strong character as his own character. And then they had to take him and shoehorn him into Captain America's role and turn white Captain America into a Nazi and black Sam Rogers, the Falcon, into Captain America. I just lame. It totally disrespectful of both characters. They've taken Wolverine, another one of my favorite classic characters. They've taken him and they've replaced him with a girl. That's just what they're doing. They're like, they hate the fact that their main fan base is males. And I don't even want to say white males, because growing up in the neighborhoods that I grew up with, I knew a lot of black and Mexican kids that read comic books too. But they've gone through and it's like they hate their fan base and they want to eliminate their fan base and they want to cater to a fan base that's not there. That, like, just in general, girls don't read action adventure male comic books as much as boys do. It's just the way that it is. And a lot of comic book readers are like males like myself that grew up reading comic books back in their heyday and still love the medium. And Marvel Comics has decided that the main demographic that buys, they're just ideologically opposed to them. They see it. And here's what it is. They've replaced all these characters with one note characters because they're super like liberal and they want to be super PC. And I think they're afraid to give any of the characters any depth. They're afraid to give them any flaws. The thing about a good character is the characters need to have flaws. They need to have setbacks. They need to have things that they have to overcome. That's part of being a good character. And these writers that have taken over, all these social justice warrior writers that have taken over Marvel Comics, they're afraid to give, they've gone through and replaced all the white people that were easy to write flaws in because you don't have to worry about any PC crowd coming down on you for it. They've replaced them all with quote unquote minority characters, and they're afraid to give them any kind of flaws because they're afraid to look sexist. They're afraid to look racist. They don't want to give a black guy any character flaws whatsoever because then they might be saying secretly that they think all black people are like this, which is just not the case. It's total collectivist groupthink bullshit. And just because you have one character that has one flaw doesn't mean that every single person of in reality of that same skin color or that same gender has that same flaw. That's like the most racist, sexist way that you could view the world. And yet they view it that way. So they're afraid to create decent, flawed characters that you can actually care about. So they have all these Mary Sue characters that never have to deal with any problems whatsoever. Everything comes easy to them because they never make mistakes. They're always awesome, perfect, pillars of virtue, because God forbid you ever show a minority or somebody that's not a cis white gendered male as being flawed. It's insane. And so their total inability to interact with reality when developing these characters and make their inability to create characters with flaws that we'll actually care about has left every single comic book that they're publishing just completely boring, completely worthless, completely not worth reading. And just, it's like, on the surface level, they have diversity. They're like, I'm a girl. I'm a black person. I'm a Muslim girl. But that's the only thing that their character's about. It's like all these one-note characters where the only personality trait they have is their surface level diversity checklist feature. Sorry about that rant, but it just pisses me off. But that's what Marvel Comics has done. They've declared, they've like planted their flag on the hill of social justice. And they've said anybody who, and this is the worst thing about it, is they pull the Barack Obama thing. If you don't like it, it's because you're racist. So if you don't like female Wolverine, it's because you're sexist. If you don't like black Spider-Man, Miles Morales, it's because you're racist. And that's bullshit, because here's the deal. Comic books have always had great diverse characters. Like I mentioned Blade earlier. I loved Blade. The movies were awesome. The comic book was awesome. He was an awesome character. He had flaws. He was a badass. But he had things that he had to overcome, and he had setbacks in his story arcs, and he made for a very compelling character. And they're totally afraid to write him that way. He's been completely wiped out of the Marvel universe. And the only times that he makes an appearance, it's like some joke appearance where he's like a delivery person or he's a substitute teacher, but they've completely killed the actual character of Blade. It's disgusting. But if you complain about it, it's not because you don't like bland characters. It's because you're racist. It's because you're sexist. And that's what they do. They shove their political ideals down your throat. And here's the deal. They're artists. I get it. Artists tend to lean left. I'm an artist. I know growing up, I tended to lean left. We want to be, especially if you suck at your art, you suck at your writing, like a lot of the people in Marvel do right now. You want to be judged for your ideals rather than for your ability to sell. And a lot of them are just like flat out communist. And it's really bad to have flat out communist in top levels of your business, because all of a sudden you see what's happening. Communists are attracted to communism because they're not valuable to the marketplace. And they want to be paid the same as everybody else, even though they're not willing to produce what other people want. And so communism appeals to him. So Marvel Comics now has a bunch of communists, like openly communist people in high ranks in their business, and their business is plummeting. So I don't know. Personally, my politics are kind of far out there, and I don't shy away from them. And there's a couple of reasons why. David, the guy that I do, I produce, one of my clients, I produce the copywriters podcast for, David Garfinkel. He always tells me, Nathan, if it doesn't lead to the sale, leave it out of the copy. And that's great advice. And I have trouble following it. So I know that most of my political rants that I post on Facebook, some of the stuff that actually makes it into my emails, some of the stuff that makes it into podcast episodes, probably not leading to the sale of what I am eventually trying to sell, which is copywriting services and marketing services and podcast hosting. Probably some of my political opinions don't help lead to the sale. So I should probably just leave them out of my sales copy, leave them out of my promotions. A lot of people, that's what they think when they look at these football players expressing their politics in the middle of the game. They look at these actors expressing their politics in the middle of an award ceremony. They look at comic book owners comic book creators expressing their politics in the middle of what I paid $5 to be entertained by, and instead I'm getting politics shoved down my throat. It's not leading to the sale. In fact, in a lot of these cases, it's leading away from the sale. So you got to ask yourself on an individual level, is it worth it? Is it going to help lead to the sale? And I'll kind of explain why I do it, because I feel like I know my market. I know the people that I want to work with. As far as podcasters, I want to work with people that are, I want to host podcasting for people that are all about free speech. And that even goes for people that are, have things to say that I don't agree with. I'm totally willing and happy to take the money of people who want to say things I disagree with and give them podcast hosting, because I mean, I'm an advocate for freedom. I'm an advocate for free speech, and I'm an advocate for taking people's money. So that's just the way that it is. But more so than that, so I guess when I do my emails that I'm pitching to my podcast mailing list, probably a little bit toned down than the stuff that I send to my business, like marketing and copywriting consulting leads. Or copywriting writing leads. That list, that target audience, I'm a little bit more open with my political beliefs, further than just freedom of speech, but free market, capitalism, anti-socialism type beliefs. And it's because, again, I know my market. I know the people that I want to go after. I want to go after business owners. I want to go after people that are understand that Marxism and collectivism and socialism are not good for the businessman. And specifically, they don't have to agree with me on that stuff. Most of them do, but most business owners are smart. Most business owners do realize that. And also, I don't want to work with people that are afraid of making profits or that think profiting is a bad thing. I want to work with people that are all for increasing profits as much as they possibly can, as long as it's done ethically, as long as it's done without lying to people, without manipulating people, without taking advantage of people. And that's what my services are all about, is helping people make the most profit possible. And if people have hangups about profit is bad and profit is exploitation, first of all, they're probably not going to be business owners anyways. But I don't want to work with people like that. So I make it known that I disagree with that type of stuff. I want to work with people that embrace capitalism. I want to work with people that embrace business ownership and embrace marketing and aren't going to be afraid to let me write some of the sales letters that I write. Some good marketing is always edgy. Good marketing is often fought back against by regular business owners. Lefty-leaning business owners tend to give me more pushback, so I tend to not really want to work with them. So I allow some of my political beliefs to creep out into my messaging. And it's on an individual basis. Should you do it? I don't know. Is it something that your target market will embrace? Is it something that your target market will reject? That's really the determining factor there. And it doesn't have to just be like in my situation, it's really easy to be open about my politics because my target market I know has my politics. And for most business, maybe not so much. There are a couple businesses that do it well. I think Ben & Jerry's, even though I disagree with a lot of the stuff that Ben & Jerry's stands for, I think they do it well. I agree with some of their things. I disagree with some of their things. The positions that they hold, the values that they attribute to their business, appeal definitely to people more on the left side of the aisle. And that's okay because those people, and here's the deal. Those people that buy Ben & Jerry's over other ice creams because of the public stances, the socially conscious stances that Ben & Jerry makes, those people will buy Ben & Jerry's over other options of ice cream. And people who don't really care but just like Ben & Jerry's product, they'll probably say, you know what, I don't agree with Ben & Jerry's on maybe this one or two issues, but they make some damn good ice cream. And since Ben & Jerry's whole platform isn't those things, I'm going to go ahead and buy. Just like people that were pro-gay marriage but still bought Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A makes a damn good chicken sandwich. Here's what it's about. If you produce something phenomenal, people will forgive the slight areas where they either disagree with you or they're dissatisfied with you. If every day you go to work, you bust your ass and give 110%, when you one time are too opinionated at a business meeting, you know what? We're going to let that slide. Everybody makes their jackass moments, and 98% of the time, this guy goes above and beyond, or this girl goes above and beyond. So we're gonna go ahead and turn a blind eye to the one time that they said something kind of stupid in the middle of it. That we can forgive it. We can forgive it if the overwhelming majority of the experience with you is constant, awesome deliverance of whatever it is that we appreciate from you. You can have differing opinions on certain things, and we can deal with that. But if that's all you do, if you don't provide value to people, like a lot of people in Hollywood, like people are getting sick of mainstream Hollywood, people are getting sick of mainstream music. And if you provide a consistently low quality product and drown, like Marvel Comics has been doing lately, and drown out the low quality with just politics shoved down our throat left and right, we'll get sick of it because we'll excuse a little bit of jackassery, I guess, but we won't excuse when that's the majority of what we get from you. We'll get sick of it and we won't like it. So, do it a little bit if you want to. Do it not at all if you don't. Ben & Jerry's does it right. They do. I guess they do it left. On the right, Glock. I just saw Glock had a new commercial that airs during Fear the Walking Dead. The commercial is definitely geared towards military veterans. Glock knows its market. Glock can say, we're proud to support the military, we're proud to be patriotic. And because it leads to the sale, because that's who their market is, they can express those political. If Glock was trying to sell something like solar panels or electric vehicles, they definitely wouldn't be praising guns and praising the military and praising the national anthem and the flag in their commercials like they do. So it goes back to who's your target market? Should you do it? Only if it fits your target market. Like David says, does it lead to the sale? If it doesn't, leave it out. If it does, go ahead and include it. But that's the answer. Should you mix business with politics? Only if it leads to the sale. All right. Did you like this show? I hope that you did. I enjoyed providing it for you. But dang it. Okay. So here's the Here's the announcement at the end of the podcast episode. I might be taking a hiatus from doing this podcast. And there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, I need to focus on Podcast Blastoff. I'm about to launch a new funnel for it. And as part of this funnel, we're going to start doing content in the form of a podcast. So I'm going to be doing a podcast about podcasting for Podcast Blastoff. It's going to be taking up a lot of my podcasting time. I've also got two other people that I'm talking about starting a podcast with their businesses. So that also is going to be taking up a lot more of my podcasting time. So I got a lot of stuff in the mix right now, and this show is going to have to take a kind of a break. I don't want to kill the show entirely, but it's definitely not going to be consistent. It's going to be whenever I feel like putting a new episode out. So don't unsubscribe. Make sure that you stay subscribed. If you want to check out more episodes from the past archives, go over to NathanFraserShow.com. In the future, there will be episodes. It's just not going to be every week. It's not going to be as consistent. And it's probably not going to be on Truth Frequency Radio or UCY.TV or LRN.FM anymore. Because like I said, I'm not going to do a consistent show. And I don't want to be locked down to the same time period of 27 minutes per episode. I want to be able to be a little bit more free in the delivery and the organization of the podcast. So, and at least for the foreseeable future, there's going to be a lot less consistent delivery of this podcast. All right. But like I said, look forward to some other stuff that I'll be putting together, and I'll be announcing that as it comes out. And I will still do the occasional podcast of the Nathan Fraser Show. You can get more over at NathanFraserShow.com. All right. I love you. I am out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. Deuces.
Free minds. Free markets. Free people.
The next person I want to talk about, I think he's in here right now. I think he dropped a couple of likes and love, is Mr. Nathan Fraser. Nathan Fraser. Oh, my goodness. Let's just talk about Mr. Nathan Fraser for a minute. He is an ad copy genius. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need some help taking your business to the next level, in that you are trying to get your brand out there, but when you start typing stuff up, it just doesn't flow right. Like you can't, it just isn't happening for you, okay? For the love of God, reach out to this guy. I'm not even going to sugarcoat this. He's the best. He quickly became my favorite person to follow on Facebook a long time ago, and he remains to be one of my favorite people to follow on Facebook. I had the esteemed honor and pleasure of being a guest on his podcast recently. Yes, that's you, buddy. I freaking love you, man. I love you. Nathan had me on his podcast. He has not really been using Instagram for his business, but after talking with me, he promised me that he's going to start using it. And I think that he and I need to have another conversation. Nathan, you and I need to talk again, buddy. There's some things that we need to talk about to help you take your business to the next level on another platform. But Nathan's been using Facebook. He is very, very prevalent on Facebook. And if you don't know him already, please go check him out. Nathan Fraser, that's F-R-A-S-E-R. He also is known to do some controversial posts every now and again, which I think is quite brilliant from a marketing standpoint. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about him. So thank you, Nathan, for stirring the pot every now and again and getting people to recognize who you are and that you're brilliant with your written word. So thank you, sir.
Hey, I've got a real quick question for you. Are your advertising efforts not getting the response you expected? Would you like them to perform better? If so, I've got something that'll help you out. Before you spend another dime on advertising, head on over to my website and download your free copywriting consumer awareness guide. In it, you'll discover 4 red flags that can help you avoid hiring a bad copywriter, 9 foundational elements that every good sales message should include, 3 questions you must ask before you spend a penny on sales copy, 4 secret editing tricks that'll drive people to keep reading your ads, and a whole lot more. Want to get the most out of your advertising budget? head on over to freemarketsquad.com/copyguide and claim your free copywriting consumers awareness guide today.